Day 317 of our captivity.
What do we call this? Is it squirrel team? Are we Quarren squirrels?
Quarren squirreled.
Quarren squirrel.
That sounds like something painful.
Came down with Quarren squirrel. Personally, I like the Quarren team. C-O-R-N space T-E-E-N.
Quarantine.
Quarantine. We're under quarantine.
Right.
Happy quarantine day, folks.
How's it going for you guys? Alan's life has not changed that much.
I was going to say.
Let's be honest.
Well, Alan work is a lot more difficult because we're trying to deal with the pains of a large global company dealing with nobody being able to go to work and nobody being able to get anything. And, we've doubled the number of VPN seats twice on our network. and we're still occasionally having trouble. So,
And every time you do that, the speed goes down by a factor of 10.
Yeah, they came out and said, hey, if you don't have to use it, please shut it off. Because, for email and Office, like Word and SharePoint and stuff like that, you don't need the VPN. You just need it for certain apps.
For files, yeah.
So, so they're telling people, don't use it unless you have to. So, whatever.
I'm happy to report that my quarantine is great.
You're having the best quarantine ever.
I am loving my quarantine. I'm the happiest little camper.
Brita, do you have to step over rows and rows of hobos to get into the library and then fight them off with a stick? Because they see you go to the door and they're like, it's open again, free porn. And you're like,
I do go in once a week to water the plants. And I was there last Friday. I'm going to go in tomorrow. But last Friday, there was nobody in the parking lot. And I half expected people to be parked outside the library because this happens, even when we're open, normal kind of thing. People parked outside in the parking lot, stealing our Wi-Fi.
Downloading child porn.
Yeah, whatever, as long as they're not. don't do it where I can see it. But there was nobody, and I went in the building, and it was really weird because the maintenance man goes in, I think he goes in every day to check things and to, people are still returning their books.
Yikes.
They're putting them in the book. I know. I'm sorry. He's a little bit early.
He's singing the song of his people.
He's a little early today.
Sounds like one of those, those cats that are like the wild cats, but they're not the big cats. They're the little cats.
A little bobcat.
Yeah. That's what he sounds like.
He sounds like a little bobcat.
Ow. Yeah.
But people are still returning their books in the book drop. And so as a result, the book drop is totally full and there's shit all over the floor and DVDs. And the maintenance man is trying to stack things up as best he can. He doesn't know anything about, circulation, but he's just putting stuff, in carts and anywhere he can find. And it's it was kind of weird, but kind of nice at the same time. I was like, hey, it's quiet like a library.
It's supposed to be.
Yeah. My mental health has not been this good for the past, forever as it has been the past 2 weeks because I don't have to deal with the general public. It's really nice. I'm perfectly happy. I see on social media so many people are like, I'm bored. What do I do? I'm like, I don't have that problem at all. I have lots of stuff to do. I look around my house. I cleaned my living room today. I polished the furniture with fancy wood polish. I got shit to do. Come on.
Wow.
Yeah, well.
And your cat's happy. That
is. My cat's happy.
Mr. Tig, who, as we left him last week, was recovering from a tooth.
Yeah, he's good now. We had a little scary weekend, but now we're good.
He's recovered. And as you can hear.
Yeah, he's ready.
He is full of himself.
But he's starving to death.
He really is.
Can't
not.
You hear? Just listen.
Oh, another thing I've been doing on quarantinecation I've been working on like cleaning out my freezer because I don't want, you know, I don't want to go to the grocery store every day to get, you know, so I'm trying to plan meals and clean out the weird stuff that's in my freezer. Yesterday I made curried goat stew.
Yum.
Have you ever had goat, Jay?
I have.
It is freaking delicious. I've had it once before from like an Indian restaurant. It wasn't so good. But this goat that I got was raised by my husband's boss's kids for 4-H. And they must have carried this goat around like a baby for its entire life. Like, and coddled it and didn't let it run around. It is it is the softest meat I have literally ever eaten. So soft, so tender, and just
Brita,
lovely. Yes?
Is this the best meat you ever put in your mouth?
Well,
clearly not.
It is up there. I've also had elk.
I mean, it's no brisket, right?
Yeah.
No, it's no brisket. And it's not elk, but it is up there.
Is there goat brisket?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there is a brisket on a goat, although the size of it, I don't think would be very large. I do know that they make bacon out of lamb, so there's probably goat bacon.
Oh.
How good it is, I don't know.
Lamb bacon sounds intriguing.
Yeah. Well, they make it for, like, Muslims and stuff, so. Anyway.
God damn it, now I want Indian food.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, I could really go for some tandoori chicken. But the restaurant's closed. Damn you. Damn you all to hell.
Are your restaurants even doing takeout or no?
Some of them are. We're actually going to find out tomorrow night. Our favorite local Mexican place. Like, I'd really like to help them out right now. There's a lot of chains. There's a lot of chains down here because people like chains because they're familiar. And, you know, I'm not sanguine about
also probably chains can afford the rent, right?
Yeah the rent is pretty hellacious. But there's down the road there's a little Mexican place, a little hole-in-the-wall Mexican place, and it's just really good food, really inexpensive, and I'm hoping they're doing takeout because I'd like to swing in and support them. So that's my plan for tomorrow night.
What is your order usually when you go to a Mexican restaurant?
I either get, they have like a spicy chicken, or they have the chorizo chicken. It's basically chicken and sausage. It's very, very good with refried beans and rice. The very usual, very comforty food for Mexican. And then we'll probably get like an order of chips and guac. Just because guac. And chips.
Do you have to pay extra for guac?
Yes.
You never, you know, that's the thing about Texas. They just give you guacamole.
Really?
Yeah.
They just give it to you.
They like, what do they think? It grows on trees?
Yeah. They just give it to you. It's so weird.
Yeah, usually you have to, if you don't want it, you have to tell them you don't want it. Otherwise, they just bring it to you.
Every time we've been in Texas, Alan, like, doesn't eat guacamole. I'm like, what is wrong with you? It's guacamole. You have to eat it. It's expensive.
No, it's not.
Nope.
You're not.
It's they just bring it to your table like the chips and hot sauce.
Yeah.
Like it's, I mean, you know, the you pay for it, right? The price is in your food. It's just not itemized necessarily. I mean, now if you ordered a whole bunch of it, they'd probably itemize it, but
yeah, I don't
know. A truckload of guac, please.
Yep. So what have you been doing, Jay? Are you having a quarantation? I don't know what you want to call it.
No, we're working from home. I'm in.
What?
You said something. You said it.
I did.
Really
I said it. Now and I can't. Now I can't restate. I'm sorry. Quarantation. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, you have it on tape. You can play it back.
Yeah. We can listen later. No,
listen to it later.
We are in the initial stages of testing out work from home. This may be the one good thing that comes from this whole sordid mess, is that it kind of drags things kicking and screaming into the 21st century, and there may be some work from home opportunities going forward. So
nice.
That was, you know, I mean, I'm still involved with the website, and I can do all of that stuff remotely, literally everything remotely. You know, I mean, I'm always still going to have to go into the office because there's just some stuff like the photography. You can't do it outside of the building. It just, sure. You know, that we got to go in for. We have our art meetings. We set up shots and, you know, just that sort of thing. And I'm totally happy. But if I could work from home 1 or 2 days a week after this, I would be a very happy person to not have to fight the traffic and risk getting rear-ended for a fourth time.
And why shouldn't you? I mean, what is the benefit to actually being there if you don't need to be? Right?
Yeah, it's more status quo. It's always been that way. The internet's a fad. It's not going to be around. You know, so yeah, it's very old school, very traditional, and.
Well, this is a great time to turn that kind of thing on its head.
Exactly what we're hoping is to show that, yes, we can get the work done from home. Yes, working from home is an option. And yes, we get stuff done. So I've been just cranking out content and copy and like, yes, boss, answered emails immediately.
I made the prediction last week at one of my many calls that the minute facilities has a chance to sit back and they look at this, they're going to see all these people, like the entire company, working from home and being just perfectly okay. And they're going to look at the cost of all that office space worldwide. And they're going to say,
mm-hmm. You compare that to a laptop and an allotment for, you know, good internet, and it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's, come on. Yep. You buy me one MacBook Air, it's $1,000. That lasts 5 years easy. $200 a year?
Yep.
You know, that's ridiculous. There's no reason.
Versus the cost of real estate.
Right.
I mean, you got to have some still, but man, you could, you know, a big company could easily get rid of half or three quarters of their real estate budget.
You could put two people in my office easily if they're only there.
Yeah, just once or twice. Share it. Yeah,
exactly. You know, I wouldn't have a problem with that if, you know, we're each there one day a week.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, we're just coming in, you know, to get stuff squared away and whatnot. But,
yeah, and as long as they weren't like really gross.
Well, see, that's where I'm an advantage. I have no sense of smell. I don't care if they have the worst body odor you've ever stenched.
Like, I meant like in this day and age of cleanliness, you know.
Point. That is one problem with working from home, is that, like, you know, when I have to go into the office, it's like, yep, I go for my run, I come home, I shower. Working from home, it's like, I'll shower later. And sometimes later is the next day.
Right.
And you're like, oh, look, my clothes are standing on their own. I think it's time to do laundry. It's like being
I think people who work from home really need to work on, you know, making a schedule and sticking to it and acting like you're going to work.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I like
do. Yeah.
My commute's like 5 minutes instead of 30, but or an hour, but still, that's how I treat it.
Yep. Yeah, I try. Well, that's probably one thing I should do differently, because I'll like grab my laptop and go sit on the couch and get all comfy and just.
No, you can't do that. You really have to sit at the desk. Yeah, you have to set up, even if it's at the kitchen table or something. You have to set up something that's reasonably an office space, just to. Otherwise, you have a tendency of, like, if I don't like it, you know, if I'm not working on something late, like, you know, when it's time to, like, quote, go home, you know, I shut my work computer down and I, you know, I have it in its own little, I have my own, you know, office in the house, but I, you know, I turn the lights off, shut the doors, shoo the cats out, and
yeah.
I'm done. Otherwise, I'll be sitting here, you know, 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, and I'll be looking at like reading my email for work and doing all kinds of stuff. So, you know, that's one of the dangers of working from home is if you're not careful, you wind up giving the company a lot more of your time than you really want to.
Which is kind of another advantage for a company, because if you can do everything, like I've been in the habit of checking my work email at home for decades, because it was one of those, you know, I was sick of coming in on Monday morning and having like 78 emails waiting for me. I have to slog through. It was like all Monday morning, and 90% of them are just, oh, look, another list I'm on. Delete, 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 delete.
Yeah.
And, it's, you know, if I can log in a couple of times a day, Saturday, Sunday, then I go in Monday and it's just, this is what popped up from the night before. And I'm not waiting through, and it's not, doesn't cost me anything to delete spam emails. So, but if there's a crisis, I'm checking more frequently, and if you're working from home, you're going to check more frequently. So if something pops up, you're not finding out about it 5 hours later. It's you're pretty immediate.
Yep.
If they're worried, you know, I don't know. I don't know what they would be, but you'd know about it sooner. So, and speaking of worldwide crises,
what?
We had a very interesting turn of events in the low in our global crisis.
Which one?
The coronavirus.
No, I mean, which turn of events? Because there's been a few.
Oh, you know, the news that the one big study that they've been basing all of the doom and gloom and we're all going to die on was, oh, yeah, oops, more than an order of magnitude off.
Oops, I think everybody's jumping the gun because nobody knows at this point.
Yes, exactly. And I've been thinking about this for a while, and it's kind of the perfect storm from three different, seemingly completely disparate events. Alan will be very familiar with one of them, and that's Y2K.
Oh, yeah.
Because you remember, Breed is probably too young to remember the
I remember. Run up to Y2K.
But it was, you all, if you were an impartial observer looking at the late 90s, Y2K was going to have planes falling out of the sky,
right?
People's life savings wiped out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, your car wasn't going to work. Your household appliances weren't going to work.
The power literally was going to go off for weeks.
Yes. Yeah. The grid was going to shut down because, you know, you weren't going to have power or water or heat or anything. We're going to be living in caves.
Right.
And no, that's
how it was. It was, the panic was like, it was insane. And the press kept milking it like crazy. They even made movies and shit that were like, you know, remember back in the 70s and 80s, they made like the nuclear war disaster movies.
Yes.
They actually made Y2K end of the world movies.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because there was the Towering Inferno series where it was, you know, the big sky rises. And then there were the airport disaster movies.
Yep.
And then there were the nuclear catastrophe.
Yep.
And then Y2K, there's always some category. Lately, you know, maybe 10 years ago, it was zombies was the big thing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Zombies are kind of passe now.
You know, well, I think meth took care of that. Because they don't have teeth, so they can't bite you. You're like, ah, fuck you. Yeah. So that's why we have the explicit rating, guys. But yeah.
So then we had environmental disaster.
Yeah, the environmental, but that, and that feeds into it. So you had Y2K, where it was, this is the end of the world. The modern world as we know it is going to end, and we can't go back to the old ways because we've forgotten them. We're all going to die. Blah 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 blah. January 1st, 2000 clicks over, and literally nothing happened. So the doomsayers were like, wow, our heroic coders and programmers worked tirelessly to avoid the end of the world. Way to go, guys. And everyone else was like, maybe this was overblown. The other part, as we alluded, is global warming, where they take, you know, there's no reason that we shouldn't recycle. There's no reason we shouldn't look to find other uses for things rather than just throwing them away. There's no reason. There's no reason to waste stuff. You start saying, if you don't recycle, global warming is going to raise the temperature and melt the ice caps and flood New York in 10 years, we're all going to die. And you're like, no, that's blatantly, patently false. Provably false, because it's been more than 10 years. It's been 20 years. And we're still arguing about it. We're not all drowned. The polar bears are still there. The ice caps are still there. And you become jaded to it, and you stop listening to these people, because it's like little kids finding out that mom and dad lied to you. You're like, well, you lied to me about this, you lied to me about that. Fuck yeah. You, I ain't listening to you. You with the dose of the boy who cried wolf.
Man, so I love that a good Jay rant. Don't you, Brita?
I do. I had you on mute because we're having a
you're having a tag.
So you've got that aspect, because it's flu season. It is a good idea to wash your hands frequently. It is a good idea just to keep some distance with people. It's a good idea to stay away from those who are immunocompromised or elderly, generally at risk for the flu, the common cold, anything that's going to compromise their immune system. It's just a good idea. But then you come in with this, coronavirus is 100%. Everyone gets it. 10% of people who get it die. Millions more than World War II are going to die. You're like, fuck you. I'm going to go lick doorknobs. you're like, you are so implausible and so out of control. I have ceased giving you any credit whatsoever. And the third part, Alan will not understand this. Brita, you will understand this. What is it like when you have a late season blizzard for the first snow? How's the media?
Oh, they go crazy.
Thank you.
Insane. Like
New England, if you made it through like Christmas with no snow, then the first week of January there was anything, it was
end of the world.
Exactly.
They've been saving it up. They've been looking forward to it all this time.
Exactly.
And I can relate to that, because we have
hurricanes.
We have the same thing with hurricanes down here.
Yep.
It's like every year they predict all these awful hurricanes and then it never happens. And then we finally get one and they just come unglued. It's insane.
And you get the caveats built. It's like caveat Jenga, because it's like, well, if the winds could continue at this speed, and if it doesn't blow out to sea, and if it does this, and if the polar vortex from Canada comes in, we could see 975,000 feet of snow tomorrow.
And then you get three inches.
You get three inches, and you're like, really?
And Buffalo gets 2 feet and goes, eh.
Yeah, Buffalo, they're like, yeah, we stake down some ropes so you don't get blown away by the wind. Hold on, Homer, you die. You know? But it's like all of these things mashed together. And you know, the disturbing thing is so many people have just bought wholeheartedly into this panic. And everything we're seeing is, it's not fun. You know, nobody wants to go out and get coronavirus. It's nasty. It's, you have trouble breathing. And that's awful. That's terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about it.
And yes, if everyone runs out, if everyone gets it and goes to the hospital, you are going to overwhelm the health system. And that's a real problem. However, are people more or less likely to run out to the hospital if they've been whipped into a frenzy thinking that this disease kills 10% of everyone who gets it?
Well,
if they're being fed improper information that indicates, oh my God, this is a horrible, incredibly deadly disease, as soon as you get your first sniffle, you're going to run to the hospital. And guess what? It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Of course the hospitals are overrun.
They announced today they've done 252,000 tests and got the results back nationwide, and only 14% of them are testing positive for coronavirus,
which is on par with what that Pacific Princess cruise ship
right.
was.
So these are people that have symptoms. They have a fever. They have, you know, yeah. they're sneezing, they're coughing, they feel like shit. They've been scared into thinking they have the horrible thing. They go get a test.
They got the Rona.
And they're negative.
It's a cold. It's the flu. It's, you know, it could be pneumonia. I mean, there's still a whole bunch of nasty sure. things that you can get. And you should be concerned about getting the coronavirus. You should actively take measures to not get it.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's the whole global warming aspect rolled in, is that it's not a bad thing to wash your hands. It's not a bad thing to avoid contact with other people at this time.
Just like any winter and spring.
Exactly. And people who are like, you know, oh, all these retards saying that it's just like the flu, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, it's not like the flu. It is analogous to the flu in that you should avoid the risk factors that might get you the flu. You should take steps to mitigate your risk.
Well, the flu but you is, should, the flu you is not something not. You want either. I mean,
exactly.
They go, oh, it's the flu. Nobody wants the fucking flu. People die from that shit.
And lots of people awful. Die from the flu. Exactly.
So, yeah, it's not.
You know, it is
and
like
And this
the
is
flu.
Worse. So if you have it, right. it's awful. I mean, I read accounts from people that had it, and they're like,
yeah,
it's, you know, it's the next worst thing to die in. I mean, it's terrible. You can't breathe. It's hurt. It hurts. It's awful.
Right. And it lingers. I think that's the biggest thing.
It actually does damage to your lungs, maybe even permanent damage to your lungs. I mean,
that's one of the things that freaks me out, is the permanent damage to your lungs.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so bad.
But at the same time, you know, this Imperial UK study, the Imperial College study that said 500,000 people in the UK were going to die and 2.2 million dead people in the United States.
Right.
Well, you know, and that's what started the panic.
Yep.
But if you just do the simple math, in order for 2.2 million people to be dead in the United States, that means that this virus would have to infect more people than any virus in the history of ever.
Right. Right.
And it's just not possible.
And that's, you know, that's like another thing that's gone with it. There was a meme going around where it was like, I'm trying to remember how it was phrased, but it was along the lines of, don't act like if I get it, I'll act accordingly.
Right.
But it wasn't. It was like, you're definitely going to get it. So act like you don't want to spread it.
Right.
And I'm like, okay. On one level, that's actually pretty smart. If you act like you have it and you're going to take every step possible not to spread it, that's a good thing. You're going to wear a mask. You're going to clean surfaces more frequently. But on a larger level, when you tell people you are definitely going to get this and 10% of the people who got it die, there's a 10% chance you're going to die for no reason whatsoever, completely out of your control. That's terrifying.
And that's why all the toilet paper disappeared.
Exactly. And this is like, there are going to be random vans with people firing automatic weapons going through your neighborhood. You might get hit and die, but there's only a 10% chance. You'd be like, what the fuck? You'd be huddled in the basement.
No, I wouldn't.
But well, yeah, we wouldn't. But
I'd be sitting on my known distance range down the street.
Be up on the third floor, peeking out the window. But you know, anytime you tell people, because we are horrible at risk assessment.
Yes, we are.
Literally everything points that we are terrible at actual, honest to God risk assessment. So when you start, you know, and I've seen so many that, like, you know, oh, what I learned about coronavirus, and you know, it's just a humorous thing, and the, you know, it was a pie chart, and it was, you know, this 1% this blah 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 blah. The biggest pie was it makes you want to run out and get toilet paper, you know. So it's a humorous, but buried in it, one of the chunks of pie was that 3% of the people who get it die. So you've got 3%, 4%, 10%, 7%, a very large number, considering that they're telling you everyone is going to get it. Even at 3%, there's 350 million people in the United States. If only 3% get it, guess what? That's still a shit ton of people. That's like 10 million people. You've got other pundits going on saying, well, this could kill more people than World War II. And I'm like, no, that's like 55 million people. That's orders of magnitude more than the Spanish flu pandemic in the early 1900s when we had shit for healthcare, comparatively.
I have a question. So, like, what percentage of people per year get the flu?
It varies between like 8 and 20%, depending on
on the flu.
And the mortality rate varies between like 0.1 and like 0.5. Like a really bad flu.
0.01,
or maybe that. Yeah.
I don't know. It's small enough that like a bad flu year is like 20,000 people dying.
Right.
Out of your average population.
I want to say I heard the average flu deaths are like 12,000 a year, which is still a very sizable number.
Right.
But it mostly
you know, I mean, the sad reality is the people that die from the flu are the same people that are mostly dying from coronavirus. It's the elderly. It's the people with immune system problems. It's the people that have other issues that this disease exacerbates.
Right.
You know, yeah, the occasional young person gets it and dies. And that's, you know.
Exactly. It's unfortunate. But, you know, it's people die.
Right.
Really weird ways. You know, you fall down a flight of stairs and hit your head the wrong way.
Yeah. I think the key thing is that what they were afraid of, from what I can understand, is that without this massive social distancing, we were going to be Italy.
Yeah.
And, you know, Italy with people, you know, that they're letting die because they just literally can't do anything about them. Now, we have exceeded Italy in the case count. But the U.S. is not Italy.
Right. And the one thing.
By millions and millions and millions, you know, by hundreds of millions of people, we are not Italy. Either in population or demographics or anything else.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is the magnitude. It's like, oh, we've had more cases than Italy. And what's the population disparity?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, what's the population of Italy compared to the United States?
Well, we also have a lot fewer deaths. I mean, if you look at, so as of today, I'm looking at the numbers from Johns Hopkins University. At the time of this recording, Italy, and these are confirmed cases, which means somebody's done a test and is confirmed as having it. This doesn't include the, you know, additional hundreds of thousands of people that probably haven't never noticed.
Right.
But in Italy, they've got 80,589 confirmed cases with 8,215 deaths, which is, you know, roughly 10%.
Right. And that is horrifying.
That's a disaster. That's any way you slice it. That's a unprecedented crisis.
80,000 though. What's the population of Italy?
I don't know, but it's not that many. I mean, it's not doesn't compare to the U.S.
Right. Well, the population. Oh, okay. Apparently, I hit enter before I hit yes. 60 million. Now, okay. 60 million. So 80,000 out of 60 million.
Right.
Now you're talking, okay, hold on. 60 million, 6 million is 10%, 600,000 is 1%. So that means 80,000 is carry the one. What? 0.? Oh, God. Now this is where I would normally.
80,000 divided by 60 million.
Yeah.
It is 0.1%.
Right. Which is right in line with normal flu.
Well, the death toll is a lot higher. The number of people catching it is, but this, the percentage of deaths from this disease is higher than the flu.
Right.
Except, well, that's in Italy. Now, compare Italy to the U.S. As of this moment, the U.S. has 83,836 confirmed cases, of which half of them are in New York.
Right.
However, out of those 3,000 more cases, the death, we're only looking at 1,209. Not only that, but because our population is so much bigger and these cases are spread out over more area, they said that we don't have a single problem. There are no people in the U.S. that have this that need to be hospitalized that do not have an ICU bed. There are no people that need a ventilator.
At any moment.
There are no people that need a ventilator that do not have one. So despite the press harping on, oh, we don't have enough ventilators. Oh, we don't have this. We don't have that. We have plenty. Do we wish we had more? Sure.
Right.
Are we going to get more? Absolutely.
Sure. We're going to hook them up to F-150s.
But we don't have people dying because they don't have a bed in a hospital and they don't have a ventilator and they don't have medical help,
right.
Which is exactly what's going on in Italy.
And Italy's population is older than ours.
Yeah, the demographics are totally different. Italy... They
smoke more. They're in worse shape, generally.
Right. And also, Italy didn't close off themselves we did. In fact, you had the prime minister of Italy telling people to go hug a Chinese person to show that they weren't racist.
Right. Which is a lot like New York did.
Yeah, well, New York,
as evidenced by the tweet. Oh, we're gonna have this big Chinatown celebration.
Yeah,
just
everybody
coronavirus kicked off.
Yeah, the mayor of New York told everybody to go to Chinese New Year celebration in New York. Now, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, if you look at the map of the U.S., the places that have it the worst are also the densest, most urban populations.
Did you notice that? And what are they telling you to avoid? Mass transit.
Right.
Reusable grocery bags. All of the things they've been telling us, the left has been telling us we need to adopt for decades.
Yeah. Turns out those things are really bad when you have a pandemic.
Yeah.
Open borders, bad idea. Mass transit, horrible idea.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. I distinctly remember before she dropped out of the race, Elizabeth Warren, you know, making snide comments about how she would take funding from Trump's wall and put it towards research in the coronavirus. I'm like, so you want to stop the measures that keep people out so you can fight a disease that's mainly coming in from outside the country? Makes sense to me. And then remind me what Canada, Mexico, and the European Union did right as this got into full swing. Oh, that's right. They closed their borders.
Yeah.
It's almost like when there's a threat that originates outside of your country, closing your borders is a good thing to do. But yet, evil Donald Trump equals bad orange man for wanting to close our borders.
Yep.
I guess there's sense in there somewhere, but I'm not seeing it.
Yeah. So according to this Imperial study now, we're supposed to, I guess the difference between what he did say and what the revised number is like 25 times. So 200, so was it 2.2 million? So now, hang on. So now only 88,000 people are supposed to die in the U.S.
Yeah, and even that sounds radically high.
Yeah, I don't see it happening because we have 83,000 cases. Let's do the math real quick. We have 83,000 cases right now, and we have a little over 1,000 people dead. So in order to have 88,000 people die, we would have to have 5, almost 6 million cases.
Right. Which is 2% of the population.
Yeah, but that's 6 million people tested positive because right. they have symptoms.
Right.
That doesn't include the people that don't have symptoms or have minor symptoms or didn't bother or didn't care or whatever. Yep. And they're saying it could be as many as 500 to one.
Right. So the people that got sick, but were just like, I got sick. I stayed in bed for a couple of days. Right. I got better.
So if it's 500 to one, in order to have 88,000 people die, mm-hmm. you would have to have 3,500,000 people infected in the U.S. And guess how unlikely that is.
Well, if the open border people had their way, I don't think that's going to happen.
Considering that there isn't a country in the world that has that many people in it, not even China, not even India, you know, yeah. I mean, that's like half the world population. So no.
And then the most interesting thing is that cruise ship, I believe it docked in Japan, the Pacific something or
the
other.
Pacific Princess?
Yeah, where?
the love boat.
Yeah, basically the love boat. But it's an absolutely contained system. Right. It's a closed system. It is a cruise ship. It is all by itself. It was quarantined. They had an outbreak.
Oh, and they kept them there for a long time, too.
Like, over 2 weeks, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Certainly long enough for things to have run its course. It's a older population.
Mm-hmm.
And only, like, I want to say, like, 17% of the passengers came down with it.
Yeah, it was less than 20% of the passengers came down with it. And, you know, now they have another experiment because the Teddy Roosevelt
yep.
aircraft carrier, some of the sailors came down with it, and they've quarantined the ship, and they're going to test every single sailor on the ship. And boy, that's going to be a good experiment.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, sir. Because
they're going to keep, again, you know, the Navy, they're going to keep that ship isolated. They're not letting anybody yep. off, you know, unless they need a hospital or something. But, you know, they're going to keep that place. They're going to keep that. You know, everybody's going to stay on that ship. No shore leave for 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah. And they can enforce no shore leave.
Absolutely, they can enforce it.
You know, that's the whole thing because, well, they, you know, they own you.
Yeah.
But you're familiar with this.
So, but I mean, again, unlike, you know, unlike the cruise ship, it doesn't skew toward older, unfit people. Right. But, you know, there's, you know, you look at all the, you know, there's people, there's lots of young kids. There's lots of, you know, people in their 20s and 30s. There's a few, you know, the older chiefs and, you know, stuff yep. like that are in their maybe 40s, but it'll be a great, I don't think the, I mean, just and, given the reasonable health and age of the people, I don't think a death percentage is very likely to be a useful thing.
Exactly. It's going to be a very small number,
but spreading, but seeing how the virus spreads and how many people it infects is mm-hmm. going to be a really good view.
Yep. And it, you know, again, to get back to the main points, it's not that you shouldn't take precautions. It's not that you shouldn't stay away from people, especially if you think you've been, you know, exposed. Nothing like that. It's just, you know, crashing the economy into the ground on fire.
Right.
Because of fear-mongering and faulty data.
Right.
There's an agenda there.
Oh, yeah, of course there is. Well, the media wants to generate a panic because they want the economy. They've been looking for the economy to crater since Trump got elected.
Right. You know, I think the majority of the press is more going back to the winter snowstorm model. Oh, this is something big that they can blast and get great ratings. And hey, people are staying home, and guess what? Ratings are going up.
Yeah, except for CNN, because there's nobody in the airports anymore.
and it's CNN. But they're experiencing, wow, this is, you know, TV news, they're doing great. This is wonderful.
Yeah, except the polls show they suck and everybody hates them.
You know, they're from a, you know, again, yeah, I go back to one of my favorite authors, and if you could see my bookshelf, it's borne out. Terry Pratchett.
Oh, yeah.
And The Night Watch and Sam Vimes. Follow the money. I know that's also not an original thing by any stretch, but, you know, why would they have a vested interest in keeping this going? Well, advertising dollars. Yep. More people paying attention to the news. You know, it's very simple. I don't think there's a big, you know, the liberal agenda or Illuminati or anything like that. It's when there is something big like this, you know, this virus that could kill us all, people are hungry for news. They're hungry for information. So the press becomes more important. They get more views. They get more money. You follow the money.
You know, it's interesting that you bring up the press, and I wanted to talk about how Trump has been doing these daily news conferences.
Yes.
And as a result, the press is saying, oh, no, they should stop him doing those.
Yeah.
Because of the lies.
Yes. NPR is not going to cover.
Yeah, because of the lies and misinformation. What?
We can't fact check in real time. And I'm like, boy, this has never been a problem up until right now.
Right.
So they're just not going to cover.
And the reason why is because Trump looks fantastic in these press conferences. He looks fantastic.
Did you see what he did? I don't remember who the woman was, but she was like, I had a low grade fever over the weekend. So, and Trump just like, he's like, I'm out of here. And I'm like,
bye-bye.
The entire room exploded in laughter. It was very clear he wasn't making fun of her. It was just something to lighten the mood. It showed him in a very human light. That's something that that every single dad on the planet could identify with that.
Yep.
It was like, yep, I would do the same thing. I would do exactly the same thing.
There's been lots of moments like that in these press conferences where he is just coming across great. He looks like a leader. He looks like he's in charge. He looks like he's got his shit together. And he's connecting with people on a real level. Like, and I'm talking about people, not the press. I'm talking about, you know, people at home watching these press conferences. They're saying,
yeah,
he's unfiltered and he's like a real guy. And, you know, not every word is on the teleprompter. I mean, he's doing great in these. And this is like one of the things he's always excelled at, is just talking to people.
Right.
Connecting to people. That's why his rallies were so huge.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there is no teleprompter in that room. I mean, we see it from all different angles.
Probably not. I mean, how could they teleprompt that? I don't know. But it looks like he just has like a page of notes, you know. I mean, and contrast that with Joe Biden's appearance this week.
Jesus.
On, you know, he's doing the press circuit and he's doing kind of like remote interviews. He's been on The View. He's been on different. he did an interview with Nicole Wallace, whatever she's on MSNBC. I don't even know. But
he's terrible.
Frightening. I mean, it's coming to the point where it's fright that number one, I hate to say poor Joe Biden, but at this point he's not a well man. He's an old dude. He probably should, you know, be at home being tended to by his family and his staff,
his loved ones.
You know, I mean,
he reminds me of Grandpa Simpson. I mean, he's that. I mean, he really is.
I mean, is Joe Biden wearing your clouds?
Yes, he is.
You're
talking about Trump, though, at the press, doing the press conference. There was one I loved at his conference today. Somebody was asking him the reporters are always asking him these stupid gotcha questions. You know, it's like,
yeah,
you know, are you willing to admit this is all your fault? You know?
Yeah.
And somebody was asking about that or something like that. And he's looking directly at the reporter that asked the question. And he says, he's staring him right in the eye. And he goes, it's a hidden enemy. And he guesses it in that soft voice he uses sometimes. He goes, sometimes a hidden enemy is harder to fight than one that's staring you right in the face. As he stares at the reporter right in his face.
Yes. Well, and again, brilliant. People are losing their fucking minds. You know, when he looked at the reporter, the reporter's like, well, the American people are panicking. And he's like, that's because you're a terrible reporter.
And he tells them that. I love it. I love it when he calls them out. You know, he goes and he tells them, you write fake news. Your paper writes fake news. You lie about me. And he just tells them right out there in front of everybody at the press conference. It is so refreshing to have a president that'll call them on their bullshit instead of either, you know, taking advantage of them like Biden did, or not like Obama did, or at least not contesting them like Bush did.
Right. Rolling over, you know, and oh, please say nice things about me.
Right. It is so nice to see him not take their shit and call them out on it. It's amazing.
Well, you got to think that Trump has probably seen everything Joe Biden has been on this past week and has thought to himself, Jesus Christ, they're still running this guy. There's no question I'm going to get reelected.
See, I don't think they are.
You don't think so?
You
don't think what? That they're running him or?
Oh, they're going to, he's going to get the nomination.
Okay.
And he's going to pick a vice president, blah, 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 blah. They're going to torch him. They already have precedent for that. They've already proved that they can do it at the last minute. Sometime in late September, they're going to be like, well, Joe Biden is too sick to continue, and the American people deserve a choice. We can't just.
And who's it going to be?
My guess is Cuomo.
Oh, my God.
Everybody
doesn't have a choice.
Everybody is drooling over. Over Andrew Cuomo. He's so good. His press conferences are so wonderful. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
Yeah, I don't
relatively.
Cuomo, I don't Cuomo, see it happen.
Cuomo doesn't sell outside of New York.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
But you know what? He doesn't have to sell.
I can't see him winning in like Nebraska.
He automatically gets
Iowa.
LA. The thing is,
sure.
He doesn't necessarily have to win. He has to not get beat as badly as Biden's going to get demolished because he is clearly slipping away.
Yeah.
You look at him. That interview was painful.
Oh, yeah.
When
yes!
he was like, Trump's been a yo-yo.
I'm
sorry. I shouldn't say that. That was painful.
I couldn't watch it. I mean, I literally could. I felt
it was hard to watch. Yeah.
Exactly. That candidate is going to get destroyed. Trump won't even have to do most of it. All he has to do is stand there and let Joe Biden babble like fucking Gary Busey. He's just like, hello, lamp. Yeah, and people are like, ooh, ooh, jeez. They swap out. It maybe not Cuomo, maybe Newsom from California, or I don't know. Drop someone in at the last moment. Now, they don't have to, you know, Trump's already spent a whole bunch of money, and this person comes in fresh. It's going to be from, it's going to be New York or California, so they automatically get a huge chunk of votes.
Well, they're getting all the Democrats anyway.
Right.
That's a given.
So if you get California and New York and Illinois.
The question is, will you get the Bernie bros?
That's an interesting question. I think yes.
How's that going to play out?
Because this year they didn't steal it from Bernie. He lost it all on his own.
Yeah, that's true. Now, they didn't.
Did they actually steal it? Of course they did.
Yeah, but they didn't.
They knew that like Bernie, right. It wasn't as blatant as 2016.
Right. Yeah, there's no Clinton and the Clinton machine absolutely stole the nomination from Bernie Sanders in 2016. Absolutely no question about it. They literally stole it from him. And this time he lost it all on his own.
But, you know, I just what I'm seeing, because the thing is that the worst thing for the Democrats would be if Trump took like 45 states and won like 55% of the popular vote. That would be catastrophic for the Democratic Party, because they built so much on Orange Man bad, he's horrible, he's racist, the whole country's against him, and to have that turned on its head. It's like, I don't think, you know, people are bringing up that, oh, well, Italy had the coronavirus, and you're telling me that they made the coronavirus up and people died in Italy so Trump wouldn't get elected? Ha ha. No. The press blew it out of proportion.
As they do everything.
To get ratings, and then realize along the way, they were like, hey, if Trump handles this poorly, which he will.
Which he isn't.
Yes, but in their minds, Orange Man bad, he can't do anything right.
Yeah. They just assumed he would fuck it up because that's, you know.
Right. We pushed this, and I mean, just looking at the reaction to some of his press conferences from the left and the right, it's the blind men describing an elephant.
Yeah.
You read some of the lefties talking about that, where he had the CEOs of Walmart and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, he's just going to give kickbacks to his cronies. And, blah, 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 blah. And you know what floors me? Is this whole concept that there shouldn't be anything to help out corporations. It should be about helping people. Who the fuck do you think corporations employ, you fucking chocolateites?
Yeah. Yeah, there's all kinds of questions from the media. It's like they're slamming Trump for, you know, all this money going to, you know, all this money's going to companies. How, you know, and you're only giving $1,000 a person to the people, you know. And you know, I can't tell you how many. I mean, it's like, because I watch these press conferences because I'm fascinated with them. And it's like every time he's like, he has to explain that if the businesses are not there, there will be no jobs when this is over. We have to keep the company solvent so people can go back to work and get the economy going again. This is not, you know, and then they're just frothing at the mouth, you know. You know, how dare you, you know, give money to businesses? Oh, it's awful, you know, and, you know.
Yep. They would rather America suffer than Trump to succeed. And that's very telling. Mm-hmm. You know, do I agree with Trump on everything? No. Do I cringe when he gets on Twitter? Sometimes.
Sometimes he's funny.
Yes. I'm not going to lie there. Sometimes it's hysterical. And it is nice to see a Republican that doesn't cower every time the media goes ooga booga.
Right.
You know, he just kind of like, he actually gets up and he's like, oh, really? You know, it's a lot like Independence Day. You did not shoot that green shit at me. It's like, oh no, you did not say that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm happy with the social distancing. I think that's a, I think that's a good thing in general.
Yeah.
I am happy with the not grouping, you know, maybe we cancel the big events that bring in people from all over the nation to mix and mingle. I mean, how many times, I mean, the SHOT Show flu is a thing, right?
Yep. I mean, SHOT Show crud.
Everybody knows this. This is not a secret. I mean, this happens every time you have a big convention with tens of thousands of people from all over the country. They just spread shit around. So yes, yep. Cancel those. Cancel the NRA annual meeting. Cancel the big conventions. Cancel that stuff. But do we really need to cancel? Do we really need to shut down the restaurants and the small businesses and things like that? Because they go, oh, well, you can still do takeout. Well, you know.
Yeah. How does that help? I don't trust takeout at this point.
Right. Your mom and pop restaurants aren't set up to do takeout.
Right. So you might, I mean, if you're going to do takeout from a place, you might as well go in and sit down and eat. I mean,
yep.
You're certainly not any worse. And who says they can't wipe down the table with a Clorox rag or something? I mean,
Yeah. And the other part is, why are we quarantining everybody when it should be the at-risk demographics?
Right. You can quarantine yourself.
Exactly. If you are at risk, you can stay home.
If you're sick.
Nobody's. Exactly.
If you're sick, stay the fuck home. One thing I would like them to do, and Brita's mentioned this a few times, is, you know, so many people that there are so many jobs where, you know, somebody's like an hourly worker or something like that. They don't really have sick time. They feel like if they don't go to work, they're not going to get paid. And so
they'll get fired
and they go to work sick. I would be perfectly happy. And everybody in the world knows that I'm not a big government regulation guy, but in the interest of public health, let's make sure people get sick days so they can actually stay home when they're sick and not pass that shit around.
I would rather see more sick time
than
paternal leave time.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because most often, you know when you're going to have a kid.
Yep.
It doesn't come up out of nowhere as a general rule. You got nine months to bank your time.
Right.
You know, I have never worked a job, even working retail, where you didn't get some form of vacation pay and you couldn't save it. So you got 9 months. Guess what? You can save up pretty close to 2 weeks worth of vacation time.
Sure.
Even if you're starting at zero, you can save up at least 1 week, certainly 1 week. When I worked for the supermarket, I got 2 weeks vacation. The most basic, no skill, you know, I got the job. I worked it through high school and college. I got 2 weeks vacation. So you got 9 months. You know you're going to have a kid. Bank your time. And yes, I understand stuff comes up and things happen.
You're talking about a population who 50% can't come up with $1,000 for an emergency. So
yeah.
Thinking ahead, not a strong suit.
Yep. But you know, the fact that we should be more like insert country name here.
Right.
That provides 85,000 years worth of parental leave.
Listen, I talk to them all the time. I work with people in those countries, and it's like, I'm like, holy shit, you're taking more vacation? Jesus, what the? It's like they take, and then, you know, but then, you know, at the same time, in these countries, shit doesn't get done.
Yep. And gas is $8 a gallon.
Right.
Because they're taxed on everything. Like, you know, I remember that. When this was actually two jobs ago, but we were an international company. We had salespeople from literally all over the globe. We actually had a very humorous exchange where we had Japanese and Australian Salesforce in at the same time. Woo-hoo. That was humorous because Japan and Australia are as far apart as they are for a reason. But basically, you know, like they're getting on like the gas prices, and what you see in Japan and Europe are like ridiculously tiny automobiles. And like, they were shocked that I had a 750cc motorcycle. They were like, oh my God, that's huge. Most of ours are 125. So you're like, what?
That's
the tiniest of beginner motorcycles that the Motorcycle Safety Foundation uses for small people is a 125. You know, 250 is...
And by the way, we want to talk about people dying. And dying by the tens of thousands. Let's talk about cafe standards. Breed is going to go. Yeah,
I gotta go. You guys have fun. Okay, have a good night.
Okay, bye. Good night, Breeda.
Bye, Breeda. Cat food time.
I think so. She's about to get eaten.
But cafe standards kill people all the damn time because they make these. They force companies to make these tiny little shit boxes
that nobody wants. Yeah. Everyone raves about the Prius and the gas mileage the Prius gets. I'm like, you know that 20 years before the Prius, there was a car called the Geo Metro. That got 50 miles per gallon
and they
couldn't give them away. They had to be rental cars.
Yep.
Because nobody bought them because they were shit boxes. They were tiny. They had a 3-cylinder engine. I had a buddy of mine, his girlfriend had one of the convertibles. And I had a Yamaha motorcycle that the engine was the same size. And I'm just like, well, here you are. You got a 3-cylinder. I got a 3-cylinder. Yeah, I think it was actually 1,000 cc's. My motorcycle was only 850, but my motorcycle was also, you know, a quarter of the weight. And I'm like, you know, there's a reason that these cars aren't selling. We don't want them.
Look at the cars. What's the best selling vehicle in the U.S.?
F-150.
Yep.
Yeah.
And did you know that Ford is going to stop making a sedan?
Yep. Everything but the Mustang.
Right.
Everything else is going to be SUVs.
It's going to be the Escape. It's going to be the, what is it? The Bronco Sport or the Bronco.
Explorer.
Yeah. It's going to be Ranger. SUVs and pickups because that's what people want.
Yep. And that's 100. Going back to what you said about cafe standards, they killed the full-size car.
Yep.
The biggest car you can buy now is the Dodge Charger.
Yep.
If you took the Dodge Charger and took it to 1970, people would be like, that's a subcompact.
Yep.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's a tiny little car.
It is a small car compared to, I mean, you've got to go to like the Falcon before you get to a comparable, you know, the Falcon, the Dart. You know, they, at the time, small cars.
Even the 65 Mustang was bigger.
Yeah. Well, the early 70s Mustangs, sir.
Oh, yeah, they were much bigger. But even what was at the time a small car. I mean, the Mustang was
the Comet.
They were small cars for the time.
And
now, if you see a 65 Mustang rolling down the street, it looks huge.
Yep. And because they killed the full size automobile. The last one was the Crown Vic 2012.
Yep.
They stopped production. So it's been 8 years since Rita's we've had an one. Honest Yeah. An right. honest to God full size automobile.
Yep.
And that used to be the mainstay. I remember as a kid, the wagons.
Oh yeah.
You know, the Buick LeSabre. Mm-hmm. Wagon with the wood paneling, and you could sit 9 people in this vehicle.
9 fully grown adults.
9 adults in the car. You can't, the most you can get is 6, and that's if you find a bench seat, which are really rare these days.
Yep.
You know, I don't even know if you can get a charger with a bench seat.
No,
you got to go. You got to go to like a pickup truck.
Yep.
You know, my Ram.
If you've seen the back seat of a Charger, you're not fitting three adults back there.
Not very comfortably. No. In fact, I know that's one of the complaints that police officers have with the Charger as a, you know, as a cruiser, is right. that there's just not a lot of room, and you're a lot closer to the guy locked in the back than you'd like to be.
Yep.
You well, know,
that's why,
and then,
that's why so many cops are going to like
Explorers and Tahoes.
Explorers and Tahoes, yeah, for their paddy wagon cars.
Which
they
are,
still use the Chargers for, like, you know, giving tickets and, you know, yeah. stuff like that.
Yeah, where there's a low likelihood you're going to have to arrest someone.
Right. And if you do, they call somebody to come.
They call someone in a Tahoe, exactly. Yeah.
So.
Anywho,
yep.
I'm going to have to get going too.
Me too.
So
we're done.
I think we're done. And I think this is the Corona report. But of course, it's really funny because I had a buddy years and years ago in high school who had a Toyota Corona wagon. So it was actually a car from Asia. No, it was Japanese, but like, man. My buddy Joe's car is the one causing all this trouble.
Damn it.
But, yeah, bastard.
Well, we'll be back next week.
Same Corona time, same Corona station.
All right. Happy quarantine, right. Everybody.
Happy quarantine. Right. Happy quarantine.
Bye.
Night, y'all.